Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Today is the third Sunday of the Pentecost, the Holy 50 Days, and the Gospel is about the Samaritan woman, which, if you remember, was also one of the Gospels during the Great Lent, and it is repeated again during the Pentecost. And the Lent, the focus of the readings of the Church, of course, are on the life of repentance. And in the Pentecost, the Gospel today is teaching us more about the living water, the new life that Christ wrought for us through His death and resurrection. And the theme of the Holy 50 Days, of course, is the experience of the risen Christ in our lives, that Christ is living, He's alive, and He is working in us, and His power is working in us through the power of His death and His resurrection. And so the resurrection is not an event, it's not something that happened in history, but it's a reality, it's a present reality that we experience as Christians as we live day to day until we reach the kingdom of God. So it is the new life in Christ that the Church is giving us, the Church is teaching us during these Holy 50 days through the Gospel readings. And if we focus carefully on the Sunday Gospel readings during these 50 days, we see these two things that are repeated over and over again. The first is that Christ, the living Christ, and His power working in us. And the second is that Christ is calling us to a very personal and intimate relationship with Him, a unity, a communion that is beyond anything experienced before, beyond anything human, a new divine communion between man and God. And if we look back at the first Sunday after of Pentecost, which was Thomas Sunday, we see again these two points being brought out. Of course, Christ here is showing us that He is the resurrection from the life of doubt, from the lack of faith, from hopelessness. And so He is the resurrection from doubt. And He came personally to Thomas and said, "Touch, put your hand in my side." So we see again these two aspects. The resurrection, the life of the resurrection, in this case the resurrection from despair, from hopelessness, from doubt, and the personal contact of Christ and man, between Christ and man, when He asked St. Thomas, "You come and touch and put your hand here." The last Sunday, which was the second Sunday of Pentecost, which was the Sunday of the Bread of Life, when Christ said, "I am the Bread of Life." Again, Christ here, the Church is showing us, He is the resurrection from the life of hunger, from the life of need. Christ is our satisfaction. He is our bread. And again, He shows us that He is very tangible. He is very personal. As we eat bread and we take it into our bodies, and that becomes mixed into our body and our blood, likewise, when we partake of Christ in the Eucharist, it is the most intimate, it is the most personal thing that we can have, where He mixes His blood in our blood and His body in our body. So again, these two aspects are shown in the Gospel of the Bread of Life. And today, the Gospel of the Samaritan woman, the same thing. Christ is showing us that He is the resurrection from the life of thirst. He is the resurrection from the life of labor in the world. And again, the personal aspect of the Gospel is that Christ journeyed a great distance. He went and He tired Himself in order to meet one person, in order to have an interaction with one person. And we will go deeper into this. Next week is the Gospel of Christ, who is the light of the world. And the following week is Christ, where He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And all of these Gospels, again, let us focus and see how the Church is teaching us that Christ, the new life in Christ, is a life where Christ is living, He is active in our lives, and He is very personal, and He is very intimate, and He is very close to the life of the Church. And so, the Gospel today about the Samaritan woman, we know in the tradition of the Church that the Samaritan woman, her name was Photini. And so in the life of the Church, she is known as Saint Photini. And in the tradition, we are told that she later became a martyr for Christ. Saint Photini means, the word Photini means the enlightened one, because when she, of course, met with the Lord Jesus Christ, she was enlightened and she became a believer. And as in all the Gospel, and all the accounts of the Gospels and the miracles and the conversations between Christ and the people, and the events of the Gospel, sometimes there's the meaning that is apparent, and then sometimes there's a deeper meaning, that which is hidden, that which is behind the apparent meaning. And so in the same way, the Gospel today of the Samaritan woman, if we look deeper, we see that this Gospel, in a way, sheds light on the whole mystery of salvation. If we look, for example, that the Samaritan woman herself is a sinful woman. We know from the story that she had five husbands, and she was now living with somebody who was not even her husband. Somebody who was deeply mired in sin. Someone who was at the bottom. Just as we read, for example, of the man who was paralyzed for 38 years. The gospel is giving us an image of a severe situation. And so this woman represents all of humanity, which fell after the creation. We were all dead in sin and under the penalty of death, just as this woman was. And in the same way, we see that the Lord, He went out of His way and He journeyed a great distance. What does this mean? This is again pointing us to the incarnation, that God left His throne and became man, took on our humanity and came to the world and became like one of us. He journeyed a great distance to meet with this woman. He was incarnate. And we read that He was thirsty and He was tired, and it was the sixth hour. And as Abuna mentioned to us before, we should pay attention to the sixth hour is pointing us to what? Pointing us to the cross. So here we have the incarnation, we have also the cross of Christ being presented to us. He is tired, He is thirsty, it is the sixth hour. And then we have the amazing repentance and the conversion of the Samaritan woman, which is a symbol, of course, of the resurrection, because the resurrection is not just a life of physical resurrection, but it is most importantly a spiritual resurrection. Repentance, conversion, the new life, all of these things are aspects of the resurrection. And so this woman's conversion and her repentance points us to the resurrection. Then the Lord speaks to her about the living water. And the living water, according to the fathers of the church here, is the Holy Spirit, which Christ gives us from the Father. And then we read that not only did this woman believe, but then all the Samaritans came to believe. And the Samaritans, of course, were like heretics. They were outside the mainstream of the Jewish people. They were hated by the Jewish people because of things that happened in the history of Israel. And so they were outsiders. They were not the ones, the chosen people, according to the Jews. And yet they became part of the church. And so we see here the spread of the gospel by the apostles to all the land, to all peoples, Gentiles and Jews. And so we see in this story, we have an encapsulation of the mystery of salvation. But what is most beautiful is not just the summary, but that this mystery of salvation is given to each of us personally. Christ revealed the salvation to this woman by herself. He was with her one-on-one. It was a very intimate, it was a very personal meeting. And so what the fathers of the church want us to get from this is that Christ was incarnate for you personally. He was incarnate for you personally. He died for you personally. He rose for you personally. He gives us the Holy Spirit for each of us. The salvation of Christ is given to each of us personally. That is to say, if you were the only person created and fell into sin, Christ would have been incarnate. Christ would have died and He would have rose for you. And so this beautiful picture of the intimacy, the personal aspect of salvation, which Christ is giving to us, and He's calling us to experience this in a very personal way. One of the fathers, he said, "For my sake, God created the world. For me, He became man in Christ. For me, He suffered on the cross. For me, He rose from the dead and ascended into the heavens." So for me, for you, for each one of us personally, He did this for. And so, in the life of the church, we have this beautiful personal aspect of the mysteries of the church. Not only the works of Christ, but in the sacraments of the church too. There was a baptism this morning. When the priest baptizes the child, he says, "I baptize you," and he names the child in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, it is a very personal thing. When we receive the Eucharist, it is Christ Himself giving us, "Take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood." You are the only one at that moment He is giving His body and His blood to. It is a very personal and intimate thing. So, sometimes we hear non-Orthodox Christians, they ask other people, "Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus?" they say. And what is the Orthodox response to this? The Orthodox response, of course, based on the history of the church and the mysteries of the church and the lives of the saints for 2,000 years, is not only the answer is yes, we have a personal relationship with Christ, but we have a very intimate relationship with Christ through the life of the church and the sacraments. So the new life of Christ, the new life in Christ, which He calls us to, is a life of very deep and intimate communion with Him. And St. John Chrysostom, again one of the fathers of the church, he said, "In union with God, the heart absorbs the Lord, and the Lord absorbs the heart, and the two become one." How beautiful that the Lord absorbs our heart, and our heart absorbs the Lord, and the two become one. How more personal, how more intimate can you get than this? And personal here, though, we have to be very careful. Personal here means that the relationship is inaugurated by God. As we know in the history of salvation, it is God the Father who sends the Son, and the Son dies on behalf of man, and the Son sends the Holy Spirit from the Father and establishes the church, and the church gives the Holy Spirit to the people through the life of the church of the sacraments of the church. So we see this hierarchy, that it starts from God and it ends with us personally. But there's a big difference between saying that I have a personal relationship with Christ and saying I have an individual relationship with Christ. Because an individual relationship with Christ means I decide who Christ is, and I decide how I will worship Christ, and I decide when I will worship Him, and I decide how I will interpret the Bible. And this is the problem that we have today. According to some of the UN statistics, this was back 15 years ago, there were 40,000 Christian denominations. 40,000 Christian denominations. What is the difference between all of them, except of course for the Orthodox, is that each one of them is individual based. They say, I will read the Bible and I will determine what it means. I will have a picture in my mind of who Christ is and how He should be worshipped. And so, this is individual Christianity, not personal Christianity. We are called to a personal relationship with Christ, but that is not individualized. We are always members of the community, of the church. We are always members of the community. We are never individually isolated. And so, we say in the life of the church that, again, there's this hierarchy. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the church, the sacraments, all of these things, there's an order by which the grace of God descends upon man. And so, even if we look at some examples in the church, for example, if we look at the monk, or let's even go more extreme, let's look at the hermit, the one who's living in a cave, completely isolated from the world. He's not even living in the community of the monastery. Is he an individual, or is he still a member of the community? He is still, of course, a very much a member of the church, of the community. His prayers are prayed through the church, and on behalf of the church, and for the church. His worship is, again, through the church, on behalf of the church, and for the church. His relationship with Christ is still through the church. As a matter of fact, the monk, the nun, is praying for the entire world, for the entire world, for the salvation of the world. So the monk or the nun is never isolated from the world, individual alone, and in an individual relationship with God. He or she is always in the community of the church. So this is something very important for us to understand, because of all the different groups out there who are claiming and asking you, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? The answer is yes. We have a very personal and intimate relationship with Christ through the church, through the sacraments of the church. We know who the real Christ is. And we know that He is the bread of life given to us on the altar in the Eucharist. We know that He is the living water, and we know that He is the light of the world. And we know all of these things through the experience of the church. And so the 50 days in conclusion then is a reminder for us, the church is giving us through the readings of the Gospels, that Christ is near, He is tangible, He is bread, He is water, He is life, He is the path, He is the way, He is the truth. All of these things are very real, they're very tangible, they're very personal, and they're very powerful and living in us. And He came to the Samaritan woman not only to reveal the mystery of His salvation, but that every person created in God's image and likeness is uniquely a recipient of that salvation, wholly important and a recipient of that salvation. And the new life in Christ, which He inaugurated through His death and resurrection, is experienced through the church, through the sacraments, through the worship, through the hymns, through the liturgy, through the prayers, through the personal prayers at home and in the family. All of these things are a way through the church to have a very deep and personal relationship with Christ. May the Lord grant us all to know Him in this very deep and personal way, and give us His salvation as He did the Samaritan woman, and glory be to God forever and ever.